Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Well, it would strike fear in anyone's heart, wouldn't it? Jesus talks about those who will enter the kingdom of heaven. He even says something like this. This is Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Pretty stern stuff. Jesus seems to be saying there are a lot of people who think they're Christians who aren't, who think they're saved who won't be. How do you sort that out? Some might say, well, you know, you got your Christians, believers. They believe in Jesus, but they don't have a relationship with him. Is that what Jesus is talking about here? Our series on responding to evangelical proof text continues on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., taking up Matthew 7, verses 21 and 23. I never knew you. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why is it so important in evangelicalism to answer the question, am I a real Christian?
That is a really good question. Let's first say that it is important. In fact, this question is a driving question for the piety of American Christianity, and it probably comes historically from pietism, which is going to say that growth in good works is more important than unity in doctrine. So deeds, not creeds, that's how Rick Warren says it. Your Christian life is more important than what you believe. And for the evangelical, there's always this distinction. There's the Christian or the believer, often called, to insult them, the lukewarm Christian or the pew sitter or the Sunday morning Christian. They're the people that claim to be Christians, but they don't back it up with their walk, their Christian walk, how they live every day. There is then the next level of Christianity, which is to become a Jesus follower or a disciple. In the old days, they would say that they are born again. And that means that these are the ones that are really serious about it. They're not just going to church on Sunday, but they are talking about this stuff and living out their Christian life every day. And that becomes a mark of salvation. Now, why it's so important, to answer your original question, I think you could get at it in a couple of ways. Perhaps one of the reasons it's so important is because our flesh is always exalting itself. And so works are always trying to creep in there one way or another. I suppose that would be one way to do it. And another way to answer the why question might be that, and I think we talked about this last week, that whenever you don't have the sacraments, the assurance of God's word externally, then other things are always going to be trying to creep in to give you assurance. And this is one thing that creeps in, is my works and my growth and my discipleship.
It seems like it drives a lot of, you said popular piety. I'm thinking back over the long list and growing list. I mean, just wait, the list gets longer of fads that have swept through evangelicalism and congregations, kind of evangelical wannabe congregations, that all seem to have the same focus here. You know, if you're worried about whether or not you're a real Christian, here's the answer. Read the book, follow the steps, and you won't have to worry about that anymore. Oddly enough, though, Brian, the fads with exactly the same kind of promised assurance just keep coming. So apparently the assurance wears off rather quickly.
And the only person that benefits, that's of no benefit to the Christian conscience. The only people that benefit from that are the popular Christian book publishers. Because now you got to get a new book and a new video series and new T-shirts and bumper stickers every 2 or 3 years with the new fads. Same kind of thing is true with, you know, contemporary music, that one of the marks of it is that it's here, it's a flash in the pan. So you always got to be finding something new and getting something new. But it's true that one of the, I mean, what's behind this in American evangelicalism is the idea of earnestness or sincerity. This is behind every, this is the adverb or adjective that describes all the works of the Christian. So it, you know, it might be one thing to say you believe in Jesus, but do you really mean it? You know, it might be one thing to give your life to Christ, but have you truly surrendered? This question of sincerity, the purity of the act of the will, is always creeping along behind there. And the fad simply goes to the person who comes up with a new way to talk about earnestness. So there was a book, Radical. That was a flash in the pan a couple of years ago, and it was claiming that our capitalist society has corrupted us, and that to be a true disciple of Jesus, you know, we have to take some sort of modern vow of poverty. But this is the same old stuff. I mean, this is always creeping into the church, that I show my faith by my sincerity to keep the law. And the trouble is that then I begin to hope in my own keeping the law, to trust in my own keeping of the law, to have pride in my own keeping of the law, and that undoes my faith in Christ.
But this this passage that we're looking at here, Matthew 7, beginning at verse 21, on the face of it seems to kind of play exactly into that very thing. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father, even promises that he is going to say, I never knew you, to those who have a long list of things that they thought qualified them to be Christians.
Yeah, well, we look at that thing that qualifies them in verse 22. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then Jesus says, I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It's an amazing sort of thing that they're using the name of Jesus to accomplish these deeds, which look like deeds of power, but in fact are deeds against the Lord's law and ordering of things. Now Jesus will say a similar thing that when he comes back, that there'll be the Antichrist and the false prophets will do many false signs and wonders and deceive many. Now the key to helping us understand this passage is to realize that Jesus is especially talking about the judgment that comes on the false teachers. So Jesus says in verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And so Jesus is saying that just because someone stands up and preaches, stands up and claims the name of Jesus, in fact stands up and claims to perform these signs and these wonders, doesn't in fact mean that they're a Christian at all and that they have faith in the Lord's word or his kindness and will escape the judgment that is to come.
So are you saying that the context of these words, which is always so important, the context of these words, Jesus is addressing the fate of false teachers, not of lukewarm Christians?
Yes, exactly right. That's exactly right. So Jesus, and remember, Jesus is getting after the Pharisees in this whole Sermon on the Mount. So he'll say things like, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So he's getting after these false teachers, what Ezekiel calls the false shepherds of the house of Israel, that are getting fat on the sheep rather than feeding the sheep. And that these false teachers look, maybe even they look like godly men because their outward works are godly. They perform these powerful and mighty acts, these wonderful deeds, even these signs and these wonders. And yet they do not do the will of God. That is, they do not believe in Jesus Christ and trust his promises, and they do not follow God's ordering of the world according to the Ten Commandments.
So this isn't a contrast between mere believers and, to use the parlance of today that's so popular, sad to say, sold out, fully devoted Christ followers. This
Right.
isn't a contrast between mere believers and Christ followers. This is a contrast between believers and unbelievers.
That's right. And especially it's a contrast between those false teachers who claim to be Christian and to be teaching in the name of Christ, but in fact are not at all Christians. and they will come under the harshest judgment, which is the great irony. I mean, pietism, again, we say it's the idea that works matter more than doctrine, is the thing that's being taught against in this text. Jesus is saying the thing that you have to watch out for, that you need to beware of, is those who would teach falsely and teach falsely in my name. Don't listen to them, but listen to my voice, which gives you mercy and kindness and love. So that far from saying that Jesus saying that you're gonna show that you're an authentic Jesus follower by your huge pile of sincere good works, he's saying look out for those who would teach falsely, and listen to my voice, because that's what my sheep do. They hear my voice and they follow me.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're responding to evangelical proof text. The text today, Matthew 7:21-23, where Jesus says, I never knew you. When we come back, we'll find out what that really means. What is that judgment, harsh as it sounds? Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
Christ-centered. Cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky, and St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're walking through an evangelical proof text in Matthew chapter 7. And it's interesting in these proof texts how the assurance is always just drained right out of them by an evangelical reading of it. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, that's one of the things I've noted here. As many conversations as we've had, and we're going into just dozens of them now over the years, when we look at these proof texts, the one common denominator is not so much a kind of a theological thing, but the result, which is all the assurance that Jesus intends in his words, that Scripture intends in God's word, gets siphoned off by this popular evangelical reading of it. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, I remember these days of being an evangelical, and I made a mistake a couple of years back. This is when I was just a pastor, and I had my old Bible that I kept with me when I was evangelical, and I'd marked up like crazy, and I had pencil marks all over it, and I was trying to recoup that Bible And so I was going through and erasing all the marks that I'd made. But I noticed something when I wish I wouldn't have done that, but I noticed something when I was doing it, and that is that all of the texts that gave me something to do were highlighted, marked, underlined, emphasized. And all of the marks, all of the texts which were giving me Christ and his mercy were almost completely missing. Now, this was not the case with Carrie, by the way. We noticed that she had a journal. That's what you're supposed to do when you're an evangelical. And she was collecting all the time verses of comfort. She was becoming a Lutheran before I was, because she was looking for those verses that would find some way to settle her conscience in the midst of all of this law, all of this command, all of this pressure. And it's not... I was just looking this afternoon through at a book that came from the evangelical world about having a faith all of your own, and it's this strange thing of they criticize the harshness of the law, but then they come and they replace it with more law and even more harshly. That it's just a move from one law to another. So exactly the opposite of what Paul says is the Gospels, from faith to faith. This is from obedience to obedience. From work to effort, from sincerity to submission. That is the mark of evangelical piety, and there is no comfort in it. Because there's never a time when Moses can say, it is finished. Only Jesus can say that. Moses always has more to do, more to love, more to give, more to sacrifice, more to die. There's never any sitting down with Moses. He's always standing. But Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He's accomplished the work, and he gives that rest to us. By faith. So you're exactly right. There is no rest in the evangelical reading of the Scripture. It's always more to do, more to give, more to serve, and all chasing after that elusive assurance that Jesus has lavished on us in the gospel.
So of these words, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. They sound remarkably like Jesus' words to the goats in the Last Judgment picture there. What does he mean, I never knew you?
Well, it's really great. I mean, it's really quite wonderful to think that the thing that matters in the end is when it comes time for judgment is not that we know Christ, but that Christ knows us. Now, we need to know Christ, no question about that. The Lord would give us the knowledge of him and his word and his kindness in the Scripture. But the thing that matters is, does Jesus know me? And especially, how does he know me? Does Jesus know me as a friend, or does Jesus know me as an enemy? And here's the thing that makes the difference. It's not that we say, Lord, Lord. It's not that we cast out demons and work miraculous signs and all of this sort of stuff. The thing that matters, how Jesus knows us, is how we would stand before him. So do we come to Jesus and stand before him as a person who doesn't need him, because by our own works and our own efforts we can accomplish righteousness and come into the kingdom of God? Or do we stand before Jesus as sinners, as beggars, as those who need his mercy, as those who are nothing apart from him? And then he knows us according to his kindness and his mercy and his love. So we, by faith, come and say to Jesus, I have nothing to bring to you. I have nothing to give, nothing to offer, nothing to commend myself. All I have is sin and death and the devil hanging around. That's it. And when we humble ourselves to that degree of repentance, now Jesus, I shouldn't say degree, when we are humbled by the law, then Jesus knows us then according to his mercy and his kindness.
So should we fear... on the basis of this passage in Matthew chapter 7, should we fear that the dividing line there between these two, well, there's only one group here, kind of the group of hypocrites. Should we fear when we find ourselves being exactly that kind of hypocrite? Because I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying. What Jesus is saying is, look, you have a lot of voices that you are going to be tempted to listen to. There are a lot of false prophets out there that are going to be trying to commend you by your own works and your own efforts to the Lord. There's going to be a lot of voices, the voice of the devil, which has come to which will try to tempt you to pride and to despair. the voice of your own flesh, which is always tempting you away from the Lord Jesus, and this is a warning from Jesus, beware of those voices. But then, I mean, the context, Jesus keeps preaching, and this is where it's really wonderful. Verse 24, which is the very next verse, where Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine, does them, will be like him, I will liken him to a wise man who has built his house on a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall. It was founded on the rock. So the alternative to listen to all these contrary voices of law, of judgment, of damnation, of whatever, is to listen to the voice of Jesus, who preaches repentance, no question. He shows us our own sin, but then he commends himself to us as our righteousness. And when we listen to that voice, to the voice of Jesus, when we hear clearly his mercy and kindness, then there is nothing to be afraid of. The winds will blow, the rains will fall, the storm will come, the end will arrive, the last day will dawn, and there's nothing at all to fear because we're established on the solid rock of the Lord and his mercy and his kindness.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He co-hosts a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He is editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, thank you again.
Always a pleasure.
Folks, if you appreciate this series of responding to evangelical proof texts, then be sure to attend this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Pastors Chris Rosebrough will be making the case against vision-casting leaders in the church. Jonathan Fisk will be making the case for the church's response to postmodernism. That's just two of the great guests that we're going to have there at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. It's June the 19th and the 20th right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration for the conference is $100. That includes 10 hours of teaching and worship and meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. You can find out more at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Just look for the conference logo right there on the homepage. You can also contact Craig, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Send him an email, any question or comment you might have on the conference. Help if you need help registering, he'll help you with that too. Craig at issuesetc.org. It's the premier conference for the laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, Friday, June the 19th, Saturday, June the 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the historic lectionary. The theme of this coming Sunday is that we ought to be rejoicing because Jesus is going away. That doesn't sound right, does it? But Jesus says it is good for you. It is advantageous to you. It is expedient for you that I go away. Why? Well, where is he going? He's going to the cross. He's going to his Father by the way of the cross. And that means that it is better that he go to the cross for us than that he doesn't. And by the way, this is the way he must go. He has been given the commission and the command of his Father to go and return by way of death as a sacrifice for sins. We're going to get into all of that theme for this coming Sunday morning, according to the historic lectionary, in all the propers of this coming Sunday on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 28th, with Pastor David Peterson, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues, Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.